Greetings and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday, November 16th, 2016. And here in Durham, New Hampshire, I'm Dave Hamilton standing in for Jeff Gamet, who is out traveling this week at Mac Tech Conference. My guest today is Mr. John Martellaro. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning from somewhere in Colorado.
Somewhere in Colorado. That's right. I assume that means you're in a bunker in the side of a mountain somewhere, John.
Right.
Right. That's all we can say about that, which actually tells me you're in a completely different state altogether, if you're able to admit to that. Speaking of altered states, we want to talk a little bit today about the Apple TV. And the first thing we want to talk about, John, is a question you just posed to me or to us in our staff meeting earlier today. Why don't we get a 4K Apple TV? Right?
What? Why? Why is that? I mean, it was okay, sort of, in Christmas of 2015 to say, well, the HDR situation hasn't been sorted out yet. We don't want to ship a device until the UHD Alliance sets its certifications for UHD Premium, which includes the specs for HDR. And so if we ship just a plain Jane, ordinary 4K streaming device for Christmas of 2015, then we'll have to think about HDR and Dolby Vision early in 16, and we might have to come out with another one right away. So maybe it's okay to do a very fine 1080p player because there isn't a lot of content yet. That was, I think, okay, passable at holiday season in 2015. But here we are, holiday 2016. Devices are shipping right and left with HDR. Almost all TVs, that 4K TVs that you would buy would have at least 4K, would have at least HDR 10. And
there's 4K content out there.
Roku player just shipped on October 18th. Roku shipped a 4K player with HDR. So what's the deal?
Well, I think we're asking why do we get this from Roku if we choose to get it from Roku? Why is it available from Roku and why is it not available from Apple? And I think
you brought up a very interesting point before the show, and that is that Roku has to.
Well, Roku, that's their business. It's the mm-hmm. only thing they make. They are set-top box people and largely widely regarded as the best set-top box that you can get out there. And they have
to be, you said the word best.
They have to be the best.
You know what I was thinking.
Yeah, they have to be the best because that's their business, right?
I mean, they have the dominant market share in the set-top box market.
Well, but that's I think the reason they have the dominant market share is because they're the best. Like, mm-hmm. if they weren't the best, they'd be out of business, I think. And they at least need to compete for being the best. And certainly there might be a time, you know, Sling has their thing and there's other stuff going on, right? But somebody might leapfrog them a little bit, but it will be a temporary thing and it will be a constant game of leapfrog because that's what they do. Apple is getting to be a consumer electronics conglomerate of sorts. And the Apple TV is, I guess they've pulled it out of hobby status officially, but it still kind of has that feel to it at times. I mean, it gets more attention than it did when it was officially in hobby status, but it is not their flagship product, right? It is the difference is Roku does not get any halo effect from other products they make for people when they're making their decision as to whether or not they want to buy, a Roku or an Apple TV. Apple very much gets halo effect for the Apple TV. In fact, I would argue that were it not for the halo effect, they would sell very, very few Apple TVs because there would therefore be no reason to buy one.
Is that a great laurel to rest on when Tim Cook says we have an intense interest in TV? I wish they had an intense interest in accomplishment.
And John, they have a beautiful
Apple
book of pictures.
When Apple says they want to do the best, Apple always talks about being the best at everything they do.
I know. That's the interesting part. Yeah, they say no to things so that they don't have to have products out there that are just good enough. And yet I really feel like the Apple TV is firmly in that camp of good enough. And 4K is part of it. There's other things, and we might get to one of those here, depending on how long we go on this particular topic. But you know, that to me is the it's just good enough. But with the halo effect of, you know, the App Store. So it does have the App Store. Now others have apps as well. Arguably, not even arguably, Apple has more apps for the Apple TV than exist for any other set-top box, right?
Do you remember the number?
I don't. But given the iOS, the fact that the Apple TV runs its own flavor of iOS, there's lots of apps. They make it very easy for people to port their apps or add an Apple TV version of their apps. And that's great. But at the moment, I don't feel like that's a strength for Apple. It may be in the future. And certainly Apple, more than anyone, bets on the long play, right? So maybe 5 years from now, we listen back to this particular episode and we say, weren't we wrong? Or maybe we were right about this one part here. But at the moment, they're not really competing in that space. If you don't have an iPhone or a Mac, I would be shocked if the Apple TV was the first Apple product you bought, but it wouldn't be shocking if the new Roku device was the first Roku product you bought.
Maybe that halo effect is something that allows them to skate when it comes to industrial design too. Jeff and I have talked about this and we agree to disagree. Jeff Gammon, he thinks that the black box, the hockey puck, ugly rectangle should be lost in obscurity, you know, maybe even mounted behind your TV. Whereas Roku builds some very beautiful devices that are pleasing to look at. And if you were not in the Apple sphere and you weren't invoking the halo effect, you would probably tend to pick a device that you thought was handsome looking and beautiful and modern. And then they had a smooth, curved purple plastic, and that looks awesome. And I never really enjoyed looking at the black puck of the Apple TV. I always thought it was sort of a letdown, considering Jonathan Ives' obsession.
But the new I'm gonna argue here, because the new Roku looks a lot like a black puck. No,
no,
yeah.
No, I think I looked at the one that they announced on October 18th, and it's sort of curvy and purple plastic.
The Roku Ultra looks like a black puck to me, John.
Hmm.
I think they.
Maybe I'll take another look.
They went the Apple route with that. Yeah. But I actually agree that the black puck is the right, the right way to go with this, because when I'm watching TV, I don't want to be distracted by something in my entertainment system. I just want the TV to be, the focal point. And having something that's black and totally just fades into the background is perfect. And I say this as someone who has mostly black devices and one very glaringly white TiVo Bolt. And it's fine. I mean, it's not like it's got flashing lights on it.
Let me counter. Imagine an advertising campaign where you show, and Apple does this and Roku does this, where you show your device. What do? You're the marketing manager. You show a beautiful 4K TV sitting on a beautiful wooden table with no wires. And then you have your product sitting next to the TV with no wires. All right.
Right.
So in the advertising, you dispense with the details of a receiver, a Blu-ray player,
right,
a DVR.
All the things you'd actually have.
All the things you'd really have, because you're trying to focus on creating an appetite for the product and its beauty and its elegance sitting next to the TV. But then when it comes to actual making it, we say, well, forget all that. We're going to hide it somewhere on the back shelf behind all the wires. Doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Yeah, I think Roku's just going on their on their specs, on what it, not just the hard specs, but the experience. Here's what it is. And they do, I mean, their website is full of, yes, it does show the little device. And I suppose, somebody made a choice to do that, But then it shows you, here's what your TV looks like when the Roku is plugged into it. Because that's really what the thing is going to be doing. You don't really care what it looks like, as long as it's not flashing and getting in your way. I think you and I might agree to disagree on this one too, John.
Well, you know, you might if it was the only device connected to your TV. Some people have this obsession with elegance.
Yep.
And simplicity, and maybe they don't have a 5.1 or 7.1 receiver. Maybe they just have a TV and a beautiful little Roku underneath it, and that's it.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, totally. Totally. All right. So while we're on the subject here, John, of the Apple TV, and certainly the Roku, because as I'm looking at the Roku here, you know, at their website, I see all of these great things they have, like, you know, Amazon Prime Video, and full integration with Netflix. And Apple doesn't have one of those things. In fact, it doesn't even have both of those things. Apple Prime Video, or Amazon Prime Video, does not exist on the Apple TV in any way, shape, or form. Although it exists on the iPhone and iPad, and Netflix does exist on the Apple TV, but there is no full integration into Apple's upcoming TV app, at least not yet. So what I want to do is explore why we have these seemingly obvious omissions, right? I mean, the app's already been written in both cases. We already said that iOS apps are easily portable to the TV, and we've seen that, and certainly Amazon's got engineers that could make short work of that. In fact, I'm sure they already have, just as a proof of concept, if nothing else. So let's start with the Amazon thing. Why doesn't Amazon Prime exist on Apple TV? Do we follow the money?
I think you had a good theory about how if Amazon is going to consistently keep that 30%, then if you were going to continue with that philosophy and have an Amazon Prime app on Apple TV, then when you try to order a movie and you clicked on it, you'd have to go somewhere in order to, you know, to Amazon's website to actually do the transaction, buy it where they grab their 100%. And then it would be put into your account as a purchase or a rental. How do you do that on the Apple TV?
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't depend on somebody having an iPad where they can go over here and look. They may not.
Yeah.
So what do? You tell them, go fire up your PC and launch Firefox and log on to our website and then buy the movie and do all that within the app.
And then come back and watch it on your TV.
And come back. By then you've lost track of what you're doing.
No, you need that one-stop shop kind of thing. Although that is not... I mean, the iOS app works that way, right? You have to leave and go and buy, but you've got a web browser there where you can do that.
Right. I did that a while back. I was trying to watch a movie that I had to pay for on Amazon Prime, and it was simple. I just switched over to Safari on my iPad.
Yep.
And bought it. And then when I came back to the Amazon movie app, there it was. I tapped it. I turned on AirPlay and I watched it on the plasma.
Right. Yeah. Because this is not just about streaming that which you get for free with your Amazon Prime membership. Because there's quite a bit you get for free, but it's certainly not all of it. Yeah.
Well, that brings up the question we were also talking about before the show, and that is, why can't Amazon and Apple sort of get together and do a deal where Apple says, well, okay, we're not going to take 30%. We'd really like to have you on the platform. Why don't we just take 10% and you'd be happy to have you on the platform and let people buy the app right within the application on the Apple TV, and you'd be off and running. And Apple would have the prestige instead of looking kind of like odd man out.
Yeah, that deal has not happened yet. So either Apple hasn't proposed it or Amazon has said, whatever you've just offered us that's less than 30% is still more than what we want to pay you. I mean,
Or maybe they had to strike a deal with Netflix to be exclusive for a while.
No, because you've got Hulu and, I mean, you've got other things. You've got HBO on there. I don't think there's any exclusivity.
I'm just theorizing.
No, I know. Right.
It's the curiosity theory that Netflix said, okay, if we're going to be on Apple TV, because they weren't always, and that was a sticking point for a while. When did Netflix come to the Apple TV? Was it about 2012 or 13 or something like that. It wasn't always there.
It was. I guess that's true. Yeah. That's
right. It might have been some sort of arrangement.
Yep. Yeah.
Where it's just us for a few years, aside from the minor players, like, you know.
Right.
Hulu.
Right.
I don't know. There's always some story behind, as Brian Chaffin says, there's always some story behind the story.
We've
fantasized that maybe Jeff Bezos is so penny pinching that he doesn't want to give Apple a dime, but that's just fantasy. The reality is probably something legal.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, well, Amazon also has their Fire Stick, right? So they play in this space too. And arguably on those lists where Roku is at the top, number two is often not Apple TV, and Fire Stick competes for that spot too. So I'm sure there's a little bit of that there. All right. So that's why. So it's follow the money with Amazon. With Netflix, like, looking at and asking the question, why are they not included in the new TV app? We can't follow the money doesn't fit. And because you pay Netflix a flat rate, there is no a la carte, and you can pay Netflix that flat rate via Apple. So they're already giving up, presumably, their 30%, although maybe there's a deal in place. We don't know. And so follow the money doesn't answer that question. So the question remains, why would Netflix be on Apple TV and not be inside this TV app? And I feel like the answer is follow the data, because Netflix is very, very private about their data. They don't even share it with content producers at times, right? The viewership numbers. And I think, you know, Brian Chaffin pointed this out in our staff meeting today, that in order to be in that TV app, Netflix would have to talk back to the Apple TV and say, here's the last thing, or someone just watched this. And so now Apple, with that, would get viewership numbers.
I think you're right. I like that theory.
It's the only one that makes sense, right? I mean, you got to follow the money. You got to follow something of value. What is it? Netflix doesn't have their own set-top box. So, okay, that's not the thing. You're still paying your $10 a month or $8 a month or whatever it is, you know, whatever level you want. You're still paying your subscription, even if you watch nothing. So, you know, that's fine.
This is something that is pervasive in the television industry. There are always something like this going on. There is an angle, a business angle, some sort of contractual relationship, data, costs, something is always going on. And so when we ask simplistic questions like, why can't I watch X on Z? They're just being doofuses. They're not.
Right.
There's always some business angle going on.
Well, maybe they're being doofuses, but there's a reason they're being doofuses.
Yeah. They're being financially clever doofuses.
Right. Yeah, right. Or intellectual property protection clever doofuses, right? But yeah. In this case, though, if Netflix has prioritized that data be kept private, I can see why they wouldn't want to go here. But the question then is, all right, let's respect that. Let's be Apple, and we've only got a couple minutes left here, but let's be Apple and let's respect that. Okay, some content providers aren't going to want to share their numbers with us. We still want them on the platform. So why couldn't we offer two ways of surfacing that data? One is you talk back to us and say, hey, here's what was recently watched, and go and do your thing with that. And the other would be, Apple says, we'll have a pull API, and if we can go talk to you and say, hey, we're about to surface the things people have recently watched on Netflix, can you just populate that for us? And we're not going to see the data. It's only staying local, essentially on the screen. We're just almost like pulling a web page inside of an iframe, right? Some concept like that, where we're going to give you a box and you can fill it.
Well, all of this is interesting, but circling back to the first segment of the show, I always wonder why Apple just doesn't get into the business of delivering great hardware and an enjoyable experience in solving our connectivity issues. and why Apple has to keep getting embroiled in these imperial relationships. And it always seemed to be, you know, tied up and fussing and not being able to do a deal. And we're always wondering about why Apple can't do this and why Apple can't have that. And why there's tension and why Apple engages in things where they know they can't have everything and they can't make everybody happy. And they leave everybody wondering why there are these gaps. Why does Apple engage in that sort of thing instead of just giving us great hardware, solve our connectivity problems, give us 4K, give us HDR, let us delight in the hardware, you know, let somebody else solve all these contractual and business issues.
John, I first of all, we're out of time, and I don't know that we would ever have enough time on TVO to answer that question, except with the very simple answer, you've met Apple, right? Folks, thank you so much for listening. John, thank you for joining me today.
You're very welcome.
As we went through all this. Folks, I know you've been screaming at your radios / iPhones and with your comments, and that's awesome. But we can't hear those. The podcast app doesn't let that data go in two directions yet. But if you email us at observations@macobserver.com, we will get it, and we would love to hear from you this week. So send us an email, observations@macobserver.com. Thanks so much for listening. We will see you again tomorrow.